Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast, the podcast where we reminisce and review movies from our youth. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and with me are my co-host, Rick Maxian.
Hello.
And once again, no Brian this week. Brian's actually in the middle of a production of the show, The Mystery of Edwin Drood.
Oh.
So he's kind of going to kind of be in and out probably over the course of this month, maybe into November. He'll be back occasionally. We just don't know when exactly.
Yes.
So sometimes he'll be here and sometimes he won't. Like this week, he is not. Rick, Halloween's coming up. Happy Halloween.
Halloween is coming
to
up.
To all the Cinemaniacs.
And
yeah.
We chose a movie that is very scary.
Exactly. Right, very on the nose.
Wait,
of the Halloween vibe.
How are you going to do a transition?
Well, first of all, I was going to ask you, I know your daughters probably dress up for Halloween.
They do.
Do they have their costumes picked out yet?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what they are, though.
And do you do an accompanying dad costume?
No.
No? You don't do anything like that?
Maybe I will this year.
Perhaps they all wanted to be puppies and you could be like a dog walker or something like that.
That would be kind of awkward.
It might be awkward. Hey, I'm just throwing out these suggestions. You don't have to take them,
no.
But you do have to listen to them.
That's true.
Yeah, so trick-or-treating is in the air. As a child, when you used to trick-or-treat, what was your kind of your favorite go-to candy you like to receive?
I still remember it was one of the first times I ever had a Baby Ruth bar.
A Baby Ruth?
And
not a Rocky Road?
No.
Okay.
The person gave out, and I don't even really like Baby Ruth bar. I mean, I do, but I don't.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a Snickers.
You just hadn't
if
had
I'm
it
I'm
going
to have all that stuff, I want it in a Snickers form,
yes.
Not a Baby Ruth. But I remember going to this house, and the guy handed out full-size Baby Ruth bars.
Okay.
And that was, like, the greatest thing I've ever had. But I guess my go-to would be anything like it. You know, like Snickers,
yeah.
Like fun-size bars, that type of thing.
Milky Way.
Yeah.
Three Musketeers.
$100,000 is really good.
I had a similar answer because there was this house.
The full-size ones that are amazing.
Right. Like, there was this house that was at the end of one of the street by my neighborhood. And there was a house, like, if you kept going past the paved road, went down a dirt road at the end, and it was at the in the middle of nowhere, like farmland. If you actually ventured out there, which
yes.
Not a lot of kids did, you got full-size Snickers. So
oh.
That was always, like, it was amazing. Because I'm not going to put up with these crappy fun-size things.
No.
What are we doing? I'm a growing boy.
That's true.
Yeah.
I want a full Snickers bar.
Yeah, so Halloween's coming up, and in that vein, we actually picked a Halloween-themed movie for our Reviews It. As you recall, Rick, a while back at this point, we had previously done Ernest Saves Christmas.
That's true.
So we're kind of jumping around the order of the Ernest series, but we're doing Ernest Scared Stupid.
No.
Which is the Halloween one, and in fact, the last one that was a theatrical release.
When did Ernest Goes to Camp?
That was the first one.
Okay.
That was the first one. Then Ernest Saves Christmas.
Yeah.
Then Ernest Goes to Jail.
Yeah.
Then this one, Ernest Scared Stupid. Yeah. And then everything else was direct to video.
Oh.
So this was the last one. Ernest Scared Stupid. So this was in 1991. It was directed by John Cherry, who was also the writer. Now, are you familiar with the work of Mr. John Cherry?
The name is familiar.
Well, it might be familiar to you because
he does all the other Ernest stuff, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
he directed and wrote all the other Ernest. Another little fact about this movie, not only was it the last theatrically released Ernest, it's the last one to feature his dog, Rimshot. Apparently, Rimshot said, I'm too good for these direct-to-video at the time, VHS one. So Rick, what was your kind of first experience with Ernest Scared Stupid? Did you see this as a child?
No.
You never saw this one?
No.
Okay. Had you seen any of the other ones before?
All right, so here's the thing. I remembered parts of it while I was watching it, but I don't remember going to the theater. I don't remember watching it on TV. I don't remember. I just remembered parts of it.
Did you see any of the other ones in the theater?
No, probably not the theater. I wasn't a huge Ernest fan.
Yeah.
I'd rather go see like a Pee-wee.
Yeah.
Type of a thing. I always thought he was
odd. You didn't watch the TV show as a kid? The Saturday morning TV show?
No, not really.
I enjoyed that.
Oh. So one of the things I do remember from this movie, from the parts that I saw, was just when he goes and he goes into his little skit of being 50.
When he goes through all his
people.
Characters, right, his character work.
And this one stood out, much like the last one, though, the Ernest Saves Christmas, this one stood out more like this guy has a mental problem.
And I think we're going to get into this more, but you bring up the point when we did Ernest Saves Christmas,
personality disorder.
He did costumes or disguises for different purposes.
Yes.
So there was a purpose to the where this he just broke into like these
it
characters for no reason.
It was random, and we'll get to it. I know it was just one part when he breaks into his like World War II guy. It's like, wait,
his World War II ace pilot.
Yeah, how did you switch to this guy
right
in the midst of what's going on? And what? I'm lost.
Unlike you, I was a big fan of the Ernest movies. I probably saw the first four in the theater. I saw Ernest Goes to Jail at the drive-in. I remember that.
Oh.
And I always enjoyed these as a kid, and I was super excited for this one because for some reason, well, it's whenever you saw a horror movie, because I saw some horror movies at, you know, I was at 11 then. It's almost like the idea of, like, Evil Dead. You had a hero or a character that could actually fight back about these supernatural entities. So in your mind, if as a kid, you're like, okay, if I ever got attacked by a ghost or a troll, there's an Ash or, in this case, an Ernest that could come and save the day, you know? So it was kind of, I thought that was kind of cool. And also in the fact that he was very nonchalant about it. When he turned into those characters and dealt with these supernatural entities, he was calm and cool and collected, even though he's a bit of a klutz, too. So yeah, I was super excited for this movie. I remember loving it as a kid, and I was very curious to see how this held up, because probably the last time I watched it, a few years back, I went to the Witch's Woods kind of haunted attraction, which is in like the Neshoba Winery, Neshoba Valley area.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of haunted houses, haunted rides, and they have a lot of horror movies playing for the people that are standing in line for so goddamn long. So in one of the lines, they had Beetlejuice. And they had this one playing as well. So I was like, oh, yeah, Ernest Scared Stupid. I remember that movie. So jumping right into the movie.
Yes.
So this one's a little different for the Ernest movies, where the movie starts off and you get like this theme music going on. And Ernest is basically, they're playing these clips of like these old classic 20s, 30s, 40s sci-fi monster movies.
Yeah.
And in between these clips, Ernest is just like making faces.
Well, it almost seemed to me like this was going to be a TV movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Could have been.
But this seemed just kind of chintzy and kind of TV movie-ish.
It was definitely clips of movies that would have been on Mystery Science Theater 3000,
this
you know?
Was like a, yeah, this was like an after-the-fact, like, oh, we need to record him again to do this, because he kind of just walked across the screen.
He just made faces. He had a fake eyeball that came out of his mouth, and he was just like,
yeah.
Which reminds me of, I don't think I ever brought this up, in high school, in my Spanish class, I took sophomore year, one of my Spanish classes, there was a poster of different expressions and the Spanish word for them, and they were all Jim Varney doing the faces.
What?
Yeah.
I took French.
It was like contento, and it was like him like smiling and stuff like that. So it was an Ernest emotion chart.
Oh.
So that was pretty fun.
Man, try to find that at a yard
I know,
sale.
I'd love to. I'll look for that online. So, we're in Briarville, Missouri, is where this story is taking place. Now, a long time ago, we see this girl running, and it's kind of like a first-person point of view. There's something running after her, and she's scared, and then all of a sudden, the townspeople throw like a net over this thing, this creature, and they capture it, and they bring it to the Reverend. Now, this is one of the things I noticed. As a kid, I was like, hey, the Reverend is also Jim Varney.
Yes.
Reverend Phineas Worrell. And he's kind of talking about how this thing, which we learn is a troll, has been stealing children and kind of talks about the curse of this troll. And this kind of is the setup to the whole movie, so let's kind of take a listen to that.
The ancient evil has followed us here to this new world. He has stolen our children and tried to resurrect his wicked race. But we, in our righteousness, have prevailed.
My babies! He took my babies!
And here he shall be buried. And this oak tree will seal his fate. Its roots will be his prison, which must never be disturbed.
So yeah, they capture this troll, and then there's this tiny little oak sapling stub that they put next to it, and they put it in the ground, and they say, you know, you're going to be trapped in the roots of this tree. And then the troll, whose name is Trantor, says, descendant can unlock me, and I'm going to raise hell on earth. So, and that was his kind of his
retro.
So that's the story. So that's the backstory. Now we cut to a child telling this story to the class. Now you weren't around at the time, Rick, but Brian and I, for last Halloween's movie, we did a reviews it of the movie Hocus Pocus.
Yes.
Now, did you ever see that movie?
I have seen it.
So there are a lot of similarities to this film. Because, again, movie starts off long ago in colonial times. They banish the witches.
Yeah.
Cut to a child telling the story of this, you know, legendary evil that has been lurking in the town. Same exact opening, basically.
Right.
So it's kind of funny. This is a kids' comedy horror that has some of the exact same elements going on in it. So Elizabeth is the kid that is reading it. And she's got this friend named Kenny, and he's like, good job on your report. And there's these bullies that are making fun of her. They're called the Murdochs. These are the Murdoch boys.
The mayor's kids, right?
And these are the mayor's yeah. kids, exactly. The teacher kind of says, well, what happens to these descendants of Phineas? Apparently there's this curse.
Yeah, the teacher doesn't exactly step in to help
She just lets the bullying go on.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, well.
I don't remember that when we were kids, but maybe that happened.
Maybe that did happen. I don't know. So she's like, well, what happened to the descendants of Phineas? Elizabeth goes, over the years, they were cursed that the descendants would keep getting dumber and dumber and dumber. And then that's when we meet, ba-ba-ba-ba, our hero, of course, the descendant, the dumb descendant, Ernest P. Worrell, who goes into one of his usual monologue tirades. So let's listen to that.
Yeah, when they hired me as sanitary engineer, they had no idea that I was actually Ernest P. Worrell,
man of destiny, ruler of refuse, a man who has taken dominion over his environment.
A brilliant innovator in the fertile field of recycling. The czar of jars, the baron of bottles, the duke of dust.
So Ernest is the sanitation employee of the town, and he's got this dump truck. And again, just like in Ernest Saves Christmas, he's got these Rube Goldberg devices that he's created.
Gadgets that he tries to make things easier and makes things much harder.
Which, again, was the common trope of the time. Pee-wee, when we did Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Wayne Szalinski, they always make these contraptions to make life easier, but they just seem to
make life harder.
Make life harder, yeah. So here he's got his dump truck. He's got several trash cans with brooms that are mixing suds together or something like that.
No, they're cleaning the trash cans.
They're cleaning the trash cans.
And so it's like a plunger system, basically. It's just basically fill it up and then keep lifting and pushing down the...
Yeah, so he's washing multiple trash barrels at the same time. And his dog Rimshot's in the back. Now, again, like I said, this is the last film featuring Rimshot.
Oh, why did you bring that back up?
It's not sad. He just didn't show up in the next one. And he falls into the truck, and then Rimshot's kind of, he's hitting different levers, and the trash compactor starts. And I remember this a little bit, too, because Ernest is trying to, like, stop the trash compactor from squishing him, and he finds a doll, but then he starts talking as the doll. He's like, no, don't put me in the thing. Yeah. And he's like, oh, well, it's me or you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right to your family. Yeah. Does Ernest have split personality disorder?
Yes.
He must. Okay. There you go.
Or schizophrenia or something.
Something like that. And he's got this remote control that's supposed to work the trash compactor. Doesn't work. Now, Rick, we're going to go to you many times on this. This is the first instance we have of this cartoony effects that go on, because there was like this electric shock.
Yeah, so on the remote, he pulls the battery off of the remote to try to stop.
Yes.
Because nothing else is working. So when he pulls the battery off of the remote, it all shuts down. It works. But then that somehow electricity goes from the battery to the remote when it's not connected. It was like wireless power.
Wow.
It's amazing.
It was amazing.
But this
is revolutionary.
This cartoon effect, it was awful.
A brief one. We're going to see a lot more going on.
Oh, yeah. It was quick, and I was like, oh, okay.
Okay. As long as they keep it like that, I'm fine.
Yeah.
So Kenny and Elizabeth are walking by, and they see what's going on. They save him. And then, okay, so obviously we established right away that Kenny's been hanging out with Ernest way too much, because he starts doing a John Wayne impression. Now, that's a big Ernest characteristic. He's always like, hey, Pilgrim.
Hey.
You know, remember, he did that a lot in Saves Christmas.
Yep.
Kenny is the son of the town's sheriff, and the sheriff is told Ernest that old lady Hagmore, he's supposed to clean up her place because she's one of these, like, hoarders.
I like
and
her
she's
name
got a lot
too.
Of old lady Hagmore.
Yeah, Hag.
He's got to clean up her place. Ernest goes to her place to kind of, and the rumor about her is that she's a witch. And she comes out yelling at him, like, what are you doing? You don't touch my stuff. It's not garbage. It's art. And did you recognize the actress that played old lady Hagmore?
I recognized her, but I couldn't put her, like, face on anything.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to look it up. I'll tell you.
No, I'm not. Eartha.
Eartha Kitt.
That's right. It's Eartha.
Do you know who that is?
Yes. She's a great lady.
She was one of the original Catwomen in the 1970s Batman. And she asks Ernest if he's a Worrell. And he says yes. And she's like, you'll bring down hell on all of us. And she starts going crazy. And then she comes out with a blowtorch. And she starts, like, blowing a blowtorch at him. Very aggressive.
It was. It was quite hilarious.
Right. So Kenny and Elizabeth are creating, like, this haunted house for Halloween out of, like, cardboard, and they're there with their friend Joey, and the Murdoch brothers start shaking it, and they break down the fort. They bring it to the ground. Those jerks. Meanwhile, so Kenny kind of runs, and he tells Ernest about his problem. Ernest's kind of working on his truck, and he says he needs to kind of be like Botswana. Botswana was this tiny nation in Africa, and they held off the mighty Ottoman Empire. And this kind of history lesson sets off to Ernest's tirade into a run of his
Another
characters.
One.
It was a dark night in Lower Botswana. Giant hula hula flies drove in the still air. Then it came, the screeching war cry of the Ottoman horde. Ah! We're the Ottomans, and you're not! You're in a world of it now, pal!
Oh my... I'm afraid. Sure, I'm scared. Everybody in here. Botswana's scared. It looks like curtains.
This place is just screaming for dreams.
Don't worry about the Ottomans. They're just wusses. They're all talking.
I do an Ottoman Eagle Scout. He got a merit badge and wholesale slaughter.
Ah! Come on, Ottomans. Take a piece of me. What we need is the high ground.
The high ground is no good without trees.
Raymond. Romans, Botswanians, lend me your trees.
There ain't no trees in Botswana. I know. I am a Botswanian lumberjack, and I ain't never had a job.
We need dress shield.
Get me the high ground to keep away from us. Cause we're the Ottomans. Ah!
Ernest, I know. What we need is a treehouse.
So let's run through the characters that Ernest brings up here. So he's a... like a Roman emperor.
Yes.
He's an Ottoman warrior who basically looks like a Genghis Khan Mongol.
Yep.
The old lady who is his go-to character, which I believe her name is Edna Worrell, is what they call her.
Okay.
He's a cowboy.
Yep.
He's like a woman designer,
yep.
Fashion designer.
He's
the American World War II ace pilot.
Yeah.
And then he's a lumberjack. So he's got these split personalities. But the other thing I have to wonder is, does Ernest actually know where Botswana is? Because I feel like he doesn't know what Botswana is.
Probably not. I'm going to go with no.
No.
And the other thing is it's so awkward to me. This is one of the ones, and this is where you first
Because there's no lead up to it.
There's no lead up to it, which I hated. But then the other problem is none of these characters made sense at that point.
Because, again, think of Saves Christmas. He turned into Edna, his old woman go-to, because he was creating a distraction.
Yep.
And then he was the Australian snake charmer guy because he was trying to sneak into the lot.
Right.
So there were justifications for these characters. We're like, oh, he's a master of disguise, kind of.
Right.
But this is just like split personality.
This is just weird. But the other thing is the kids are there.
Like, is he running away and changing his clothes?
And he comes in a different clothing, and they talk to him. I'm like, what is he doing? Changing right here? That's not
appropriate in front of a young boy.
No.
Now, mind you, though, this was very much how the TV show was. You would just cut to different characters. So I think they were kind of harking to the Saturday morning show where it would just be different scenes and he'd be different characters. Now, in the previous movies, they kind of justified it a little bit more, but it seemed like everything went out the window for this one. So, like Kenny said, they need a tree fort because that's going to give them the higher ground. So they go into the forest to find the right tree to use. And obviously we get the classic gags of Ernest goes to one tree. He goes, this one's not sturdy enough, falls over. He looks up one. This one's good, but it poops on his face. He goes inhabited. And they find this opening in the woods that has this ominous smoke going on.
Yeah, this is one of the weird, I'm going to go in here.
Yeah, which is kind of, it has kind of like an arch, and they're just going to kind of sneak in there. And Ernest is doling out his philosophy. He says, they know they're going the right way because bark always grows on the outside of the tree. As opposed to, like, the moss is on the north side of the tree.
Right.
The bark is always on the outside of the tree.
It's true. They're going the right way. But that would just lead you in every direction.
So they find this giant oak tree, which they're like, this is the one. It's like this massive oak tree. And Ernest kind of nails the initial nail into the treehouse to kind of start off the montage of, like, hey, let's build a treehouse together. Yeah. But that nail kind of awakens something below. Way down in the roots.
Oh, no.
What is it? What's going on? And they're putting together all these knickknacks and stuff throughout the tree. Again, very Ernest like himself, all these kind of Rube Goldberg contraptions going on. And the way the tree is decorated, I don't know if you call, Rick, some of the things. Like, there was, like, the grill of a Cadillac that was sticking out of
it. Yes, I saw that. I was like, oh, weird.
And there was, like, a giant bass fish that was just there. And there was, like, a windmill. So there was all these kind of weird items. And old lady Hagmore comes running out, and she's, like, telling them to flee away. The Murdochs find them, but again, they have the high ground, because Ernest runs out with Lady Hagmore. And the rest of the kids, they start, like, shooting canned goods.
Yeah.
They're shooting canned goods from, like, this air gun at them.
Yeah, that was also in the treehouse.
Yes, like peas and stuff like that. And various food items. They had an arm that just kind of tossed an entire pizza at them. And the Murdochs aren't, like, hurt by this. They're more like, oh, I'm getting all wet and moist. But it's like mildly annoying. It's not like...
It's like, oh, hey, guys.
I'm going to have to take a shower later.
Stop.
But they eventually run away. So Ernest comes back, and they ask him what happened with his talk with Lady Hagmore, and he pretends to tell them the kind of the legacy of what is going on, and kind of like, there's ways that if he acts a certain way, well, take a listen to this.
Hey, Ernest, what was Mrs. Hagmore going on about?
She told me about this troll that had red glowing eyes and walks like this. And if he ever gets loose, he'll go after the children first. And he turns them into little wooden dolls, which gives him his power. And that ugly little rascal is still alive down there. He can only be awakened on the night before Halloween.
Like tonight.
When a whorl,
like you,
places his hand on a tree like this and says, yea, I call thee forth, Trantor. But what are the chances of that happening?
100%.
So, of course, Ernest, you awaken the troll. And the lightning strikes and the kids run away. And Ernest is getting all scared because he's all by himself at that point. and the troll appears. So he runs away. Ernest kind of knocks over this trash can where some milk comes pouring out, and that Joey's running away, and he kind of gets trapped in this hole, in this mud pit, and he's like, help, help, because all the kids are going home, and someone helps him up, but it's the troll. Oh, no.
Oh.
And the troll turns him into a wooden doll.
Whoa. And the quality of the graphics were amazing.
Yeah, describe those a little bit.
Well, it was much like the electrical field. It was just weird, fake.
Very, like, animated. Yeah.
It was animated, but it was almost like...
You know what reminded me a little bit? Like a Mary Poppins or Bedknobs and Broomsticks. It was like live action with animation going
on. It was a very top layer animation. It wasn't...
Like someone drew over the cell.
Exactly. It wasn't... It didn't look three-dimensional. It almost looked like it was above everybody.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a weird effect. And by weird, I mean just bad.
I did like, and one of the things I remember and I thought was cool, I did like the wooden dolls. I thought those were cool,
bad.
The way they were carved. And,
those weren't bad.
Yeah. So Ernest rents the sheriff's office, or the sheriff's house, and he's telling him about the troll. And of course, the guy doesn't believe him. And he's saying, you know, it's just a nightmare he's having. What's going on? And Kenny's like, you got to listen to him, Dad. And Ernest is trying to describe So let me pose this to you, Rick, first. How would you describe Trantor? What does he look like, his physical appearance?
You know the heads of Easter Island?
Yeah, like very big, top-heavy heads.
Yes.
And he's got two noses.
Oh, it was two...
Two noses.
I thought it was just two huge nostrils.
It did kind of look like that, but I think it was two noses going separate ways, which accounted for the snot that was always hanging down.
Oh, God.
It was furry. And it had, like, these thorns coming out of its face. So that's how we describe it. This is how Ernest would describe it.
Sheriff, I saw a troll. I really saw a troll.
Yeah, something really strange was happening in those woods tonight.
Yeah, you gotta believe me, Sheriff. Yeah, look, Ernest, whoa, listen. You just had a nightmare, okay? So pinch yourself.
Ow!
Go on.
No, I'm not dreaming this. That really hurts.
Talk about it.
Was you. You had this great big head and teeth.
Good night, Ernest.
With this log, and it was probably just tall. Well, it was more about, this tall. And it looked like a giant, thick Mr. Potato and only big as a watermelon.
So one of the fun facts about this movie, you know how he described him as a giant Mr. Potato Head?
Yes.
Well, Jim Varney was in a couple movies with Mr. Potato Head
because
he was the voice of the Slinky Dog in Toy Story.
Up until he passed away.
What a weird tidbit of information for that.
And also, in this movie, he looks so old, and he's literally, like, only 40.
Yeah, he always had an older face.
It was crazy.
He didn't look any older than the other movies, though, because he always looked like that.
Exactly. He's one of those guys. It's like... And the first Ernest was, what, mid-80s?
Early to mid-80s, probably. Yeah.
So, at that time, he was, like, 32.
Yeah. Wow.
And
so, we're older than that.
He looked elderly.
He looked 60, yeah.
Yeah.
So, the troll takes the wooden doll and he sticks it into this tree. And it's kind of...
His power.
It's the power. And then the tree starts, like, growing these pod things from the limbs. Old Lady Hagmore shows Ernest her book, which kind of tells a little bit about the tale of Trantor, how that he has to get 5 children before midnight and, you know, all hell will break loose. And only Ernest can stop him because, now this is like a common kind of myth for many things, that Ernest is the 7th son of the 7th son. Like, that is a common, like, always the savior in a lot of fantasy stories that the 7th son of the 7th son is like the one that can do it. It's the one. So that's Arnis as well.
He's
so
Neo.
So this hero has the heart of a child and...
Mother's milk? Mother's love?
Mother's love, yes. Mother's love, exactly. And she calls him the Great Redneck Hope, which I thought was pretty funny.
I
thought that was pretty good, yeah.
I was like, oh, that's true.
Now, mind you... Obviously, Ernest, his family is from this area because ancestor Phineas was the one who put him in the ground. They're in Missouri. Now, Missouri's like Midwestern. I wouldn't really describe that as redneck. So that's kind of strange.
Southern Missouri, maybe.
So Ernest decides to take up the mantle as the troll fighter. He's Troll Fighter 1 is the call sign he gives him. And he runs into the street with a bullhorn. And he starts, like, yelling in the street, running down the street. Now, Ernest is just a crazy guy, so people are like, just ignore him. He runs into some old familiar friends. these two guys, Tom and Bobby,
who are also just as crazy as him.
These crazy guys. That guy Bobby, who's like 100 years old and doesn't talk. That really skinny guy.
Exactly. And they believe anything Ernest says.
Yes. Well, he's his friend. They also show up in all the movies, although I don't believe this was the same actor that played Tom. At least not in...
Oh, I'll have to look that up in the
movie. Yeah, we'll have to look that up, because I know he switched out a couple times. I don't remember if he was the same one for Save Christmas or not. Bobby was always the same guy. That old guy, he was like the Keystone Light Bitters beer face guy he looked like, you know?
Yeah.
He always had skinny guy, and he wouldn't when he did talk, he'd be like, hi.
Yeah.
Like a weird, like really weird voice.
Awkward, yeah.
So with Ernest kind of being the town crier about these trolls, they run like one of those like, hey, crazy discount store, like, we'll buy you anything, make a deal. You know, hey, you want, like, you
we'll
remember?
We'll buy you anything?
We'll sell you anything.
I was like, that's a great
we'll buy you anything. We'll be the third party. Yeah. We can get you something.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, you ever see, like, Dollar Bill in, like, New Hampshire? The guy that, like, wears, like, the Dollar Bill pants with, like, the umbrella with dollars coming off of it. He's like, we got this and this. It's such, like, a mishmash of random cheap stuff. So they run one of these superstores, and they take the advantage where they're like, oh, we can sell Ernest all this troll-fighting gear.
I love it.
Like, T-shirts.
I love it.
Even an album of troll love songs.
It's one of those adult jokes they slip in.
Yeah, exactly.
Movie.
And with all the stuff that they sell Ernest, it totals, like, $1,700. Like, where does Ernest get the money to buy this stuff?
I don't know. Oh, and wait a second. You just said, I just got something. Troll love song.
Yeah. Maybe to like lure them out with like a mating, like hunting.
Love.
We'll unconditional love.
We'll get to this.
Maybe he should have played the album.
Oh, maybe it was playing. Maybe there's music in the background.
Yeah. So Liz and Kenny are looking for Joey.
Yeah.
And there's this just neighborhood kid on a skateboard. He's skateboarding by him. The troll just grabs him, turns him into another wooden doll. So this is victim number two. He's on his way to five. Lady Hagmore says something about how Ernest needs a child's heart, which they think is like human sacrifice.
Yeah.
Or something like that, which is like, that's a weird turn. But Ernest is like, that's a last resort. I'm going to create this troll trap, which basically he took a dumpster and described it as a cheap motel going like, trolls come in here for a good time. It's very awkward.
And play the love songs.
Yes. Oh, they should have.
That would have attracted him.
Yeah, they should have. And of course, Ernest gets his hand trapped in the trap because, you know, he's accident prone. Kenny goes home and the Murdochs are dressed up as trolls and they jump out and they scare them because they're big jerks. I always like one equivalent like this Murdoch family to be like, O'Doyle rules.
Yes.
Like almost like Billy Madison.
Yeah. It was. That reminded me like 100%. I was like, man.
Which if you think about it,
these
this
guys
just
were just assholes.
This just dawned on me. Ernest's regular outfit is really the same as Billy Madison's. It's just a hat with like a jean jacket thing over it. That's exactly what Billy Madison wore.
Oh, man.
In the first movie. They have the same attire. And they're both children at heart. In Elizabeth's house. Now, I remember this scene as a kid. This kind of like made me taken aback a little bit. It was a little, because it was a little invasive. Like Elizabeth was looking under her bed looking for the troll and he wasn't there. But then she turns around and the troll's lying in bed with her.
Yes.
Which is, I was like, oh my God, that was kind of a shock to me as a kid. Because it was unexpected.
Here's the thing, watching so many of these movies, you know it's going to happen.
But the first time, this was kind of a unique jump scare.
Yeah.
And he turns her into the next wooden doll. Oh no! So Ernest is setting up another trap. He's setting up this giant bear trap, just, I guess, in a park where kid could wander through and step on it.
That's not a bear trap.
A dinosaur trap.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like bigger than an elephant trap.
King Kong trap.
Yes. I was like, I didn't even know they made these this big.
Now, this is kind of the most adorable, cutest thing in the whole movie. He says he's using Rimshot as the bait, dressed up as a child, and Rimshot is wearing like this Cub Scout outfit.
Yes.
This dog is so adorable, I must say.
Yeah.
And he's wearing this little neckerchief. It's just very cute. And, of course, the trap closes on Ernest. And Rimshot, which, again, Rimshot's some great comic relief. He, like, just turns around and walks into this tent. He's like, he's not even going to help him. He's used to Ernest's shenanigans. He's going to go about his business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ernest goes to the store and he starts buying all these snacks. Obviously, Ernest is not very health conscious. He's like, you know, I've had enough of your bullshit,
you know what,
Ernest.
You know what? After this troll, no, we're done.
I'm going to go maybe show up in Beverly Hills Chihuahua or something like that.
Yes.
So Ernest is buying Ho-Hos, Twinkies. Like, this guy obviously doesn't care about his cholesterol whatsoever. And he goes to the cashier and they see there's a troll. Now, the cashier pulls out a shotgun, and Ernest throws chocolate milk up in the air, and that scares away the troll. Uh-oh, Rick, we might be getting an idea of one way to fight the trolls.
Oh.
Maybe.
Foreshadowing.
And Kenny hears Elizabeth's voice, because I don't know if you knew this about Trantor, the troll. He was like the Frank Caliendo of his day. He is a great impressionist.
Yes. Or he just absorbs everything about
him. He absorbs their essence.
Yes.
So he starts talking like Elizabeth.
Which is why I don't understand why he talks like... like, just talking like a normal person. Previous to this, he stole all those kids back in, whatever, 1600. Do it again.
Again, let's listen to Trantor. I don't think we got a good glimpse of how his voice was in that first scene. So let's take a listen to that. It's kind of gremlin-esque, but not really. And he's chasing Kenny. All the parents are at the police station, and they're like, my kid's missing. What's going on? And one guy, I don't know if you noticed this, they're all complaining about their kids missing, and one guy goes, and my trash hasn't been picked up in 2 days.
He's worried about Ernest.
He's really upset about his trash pickup. The troll is chasing Kenny, and did you notice how he was saved? That the troll was kind of cut off by a milk truck. Again, foreshadowing. What's going on?
Oh, man.
So Ernest's troll alarm goes off, and he shows up to the police station saying that he's caught a troll. Now, there was a lot of sly product placement in this movie. I don't know if you noticed that. Because one of the shots of them talking to the sheriff, there was a box of Dunkin' Donuts.
Yep.
And Ernest shows up, and again, one of the parents is saying his kid's missing is the mayor. And Ernest shows up, and he says he's caught the troll. And he backs up his dump truck, and he opens it up, and it's the...
Oh.
Murdoch boys.
The kid.
Dressed as the trolls.
He failed
again. And they're crying. And to tell you how much of punks these Murdoch boys, they don't even say, like, I'm scared. The first one goes, heads are going to roll for this, aren't they, Daddy?
Yeah.
Like, what a bunch of twerps.
Yeah.
So you were in a garbage truck for, like, 2 minutes.
And then, you know, prior to this, the sheriff has all these reports of kids missing.
Yes.
And he's sitting...
He's doing
office.
Nothing about it.
He's in the office.
Apparently, he's the only guy that works at this sheriff's station,
yeah,
too.
I didn't see anybody else.
Does he have any deputies?
No.
They get the night off for Halloween.
Like, go.
So the mayor fires Ernest for his mistakes, and he tells Ernest that he's got to grow up. Again, the heart of a child, though. He can't grow up. And one of the things is he asks Kenny, he goes, Kenny, tell him. And Kenny just shrugs and walks away. It's like, come on, Kenny.
Yeah.
Stick up for your friend.
Stick up for your 45-year-old friend.
So a secret about old lady Hagamore is she actually has 4 wooden dolls as well, like separate ones, in her house that she's collecting. And she says, don't worry, soon it will be time.
Maybe
I don't
she's
get
a
it.
Troll too.
No.
When I was first...
By the way, Troll 2, horrible movie.
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston, right?
No, that's Leprechaun. So Ernest is driving to Lady Hagmore's, and the troll is on the roof of his car. So he ends up going out to kind of confront him. He's in the flatbed of the truck, and Rimshot's driving the car. It's very like Groundhog Day. You know, he's doing a good job. And the troll's got this big freaking knife that he's just swinging at.
Yeah. I was like, what is he doing?
Right.
This knife is the size of him.
But Ernest got some nunchucks. But he ends up hitting himself because, of course,
it's
Ernest. You know, it's Ernest. And he kicks him off the back of the truck, but the troll kind of has some rope that he grabs on the way down, and he's in the back of the truck, and he starts pulling on the rope, which is making the truck come backwards, even though Rimshot is skillfully jumping to the gas and gunning it.
Yeah,
it's still not enough for the horsepower.
So then
Rimshot, because he's a very smart dog, he kicks it in reverse, and Ernest, who is fighting back, throws off this little quip, which I remember as always being one of the most famous lines of the movie.
How about a bumper sandwich, booger lips?
How about a bumper sandwich, booger lips?
And he got him.
They backed the truck into Trentor.
And he lost.
But he kind of just disappeared after that. Right.
Yeah, like, so this whole time I was like, okay, wait, where did he go? All right, where is he going to pop up from? Ernest turns to the front of the truck, doesn't see him. And then he appears from the top
from the truck.
Falling onto the hood of the car. So he was above them?
I don't know how he snuck by them.
I
must have just jumped or something.
Maybe he's got ups.
Going back to the sequence of when they back the truck,
yeah.
Maybe just comparatively to other movies we've seen and the speed of them, but I got a real Austin Powers vibe about this. Like, them backing into that troll took so long. It seemed like it was a very slow backup.
It was. You can go faster than that.
Or at least they shot it where it seemed like the truck was so far away, it had to go such a great distance to go all the way back that you're just like, okay, this is a really long sequence. Because the troll, like you said, the troll lands on the hood of the car and his super bad breath breaks the windshield.
Yeah, it screams and bad breath. But he fell from the sky. Like, he was hit by a car or truck, disappears. You'd think he
shows up on the front of the car.
Shows up on the front of the car from above.
Well, do you think he, got hit by the truck, rolled underneath, ended up coming out the other side, and just kind of jumped from the front onto wherever he landed?
He fell from the sky.
Well, maybe he jumped really high from that point.
Maybe.
And then descended.
Maybe he's got it.
He's got mad troll ups, yo. Yeah. He was wearing Air Trojans.
That sounds like we're going to get sued by the condom company.
Trojan man. Ernest falls in a barrel that's in the back, and he just rolls off. So you know what's coming up next. He gets stuck in this barrel.
Yeah, it starts rolling.
Yeah. You know there's going to be a lot of barrel humor coming up soon.
Oh, here it comes.
Because he gets to old Lady Hagmore's house, walks up the stairs. Oop, rolls back down the stairs.
No, but prior to this, he got hit by his buddies.
Oh, Tom and Bobby?
Yeah. Remember, he was rolling backwards in the street, and they came up behind him, and they hit him off of the road.
Oh, right. Yep.
It was awful to watch.
This movie is absurd, right?
Yeah, it is. It is.
But besides his tangents of his multiple personalities, there's still some kind of basis of reality, still with, supernatural elements to it. But the thing that really took me overboard is when he goes to old Lady Hagmore's. He's stuck in the barrel. How does old Lady Hagmore get him out of the barrel? She's got a giant wrench, like a comically large wrench.
I was like, where did she get this?
What is going on here?
Did she go to Lowe's? I mean, where do you get those things?
Yeah, I mean, this is something you would expect to be in Pee-wee's Playhouse. Just a giant wrench. That was kind of weird because she's prying him out of that. Ernest also notices that there were pages of the book that were stuck together. So there's more of this legend. And when he reads it, he says there is one thing that can destroy a troll. And that is something, it says, M-I something K, which all of us know is milk.
Yes.
But Ernest thinks that it's the Bulgarian Miak. Now, Rick, do you know what Miak is?
No.
Let me read you the definition of Miak that I looked up.
What is wrong with him?
He's kind of dumb, if you haven't noticed that.
Well, yes.
Let me read you. This is probably one of the best definitions of something ever. This is the definition of Miak. Quote, a rare, slightly antiquated beverage generally produced in Bulgaria, which may or may not be fictional. End quote.
What? This is why it wasn't there?
Because I remember even at the time, I was like, what the hell is Miak? But that is something I always associate with this movie, Miak. And it wasn't until I rewatched it today that I had the desire to look up if this thing was real or not.
You had to.
I had to. So.
And you don't even
know. I researched this stuff for the Cinemaniacs so they don't have
And you don't even know.
I don't know. It could be fictional.
It could be.
May or may not be fictional. Ernest is right that it's from Bulgaria. He got that right. So another similarity to Hocus Pocus is there's a big Hollywood dance at the school. This is what always happens. All the adults are going to the town Halloween dance.
That's what they do.
That's what they do.
It's a small town. Small town, girl.
Living in the trolley world. I took the midnight dump truck to the oak. Don't stop sneezing. Mucus out of two troll noses.
That's perfect.
So Kenny's dad tells him to go inside and stay with his mom and don't leave. Stay put. Lady Hagmore's sitting in the truck, and she notices the exchange between this mother and daughter, where the daughter's like, I hate this costume. I hate you. And then the daughter turns around and she goes, just kidding, Mom. I love you. And she goes, unconditional love.
It was one of the most awkward, like, okay, we need to throw this in here.
Yeah.
But most kids aren't just going to come out and say it. So
they're going to hold a grudge for like a week.
Yeah.
But she just turned around. It would almost be if the kid had turned around and just said, unconditional love, instead of Hagmore picking
like,
that up.
Struck a pose, like just whipped around.
Right. So Ernest busts into the dance, but prior to the dance, he walks into this door that a guy's walking out of. So when he's trying to warn all the people, he is slurring his speech, and he's like, there's snow coming. There's snow coming. And they're like, what? And he's like, yeah, snow coming.
Yeah.
Again, physical humor.
Oh.
There's a costume contest going on with one of the Murdochs. They're all lined up. And Trantor's in the line.
Oh, that troll.
And he attacks the Murdoch kid and the mayor and turns him into the last doll that he needs.
He's got the power. He's got the touch. Wait, that's not that movie.
Trantor's got the power. Feeling kind of mucus. Feeling kind of mucus. Now we have the showdown between Trantor and Ernest. And Ernest has got his secret weapon that he's learned from the pages of the book.
See, I got a line for you, short change. Aloha. Sayonara. El Rancho Grande. Dear history, pal. Dear Elvis. Let's see how you like a little meak. Yeah, meak. I bet you thought I couldn't find any this time of year. Well, I'm a little too resourceful for you. A little too light on my feet. So come on, eat me, I can die.
So obviously the Miak didn't work, because that's not what they were looking for.
Nope.
That wasn't what it says. So that was the sound of the Miak not working and Trantor.
Just a terrible idea.
Awful. Just awful. And he blows...
He blows his nose.
He blows Ernest into the concession stand. He does. Yes. With that powerful, stinky breath. He lands it into the popcorn machine, and he's covered with popcorn butter.
We should have popcorn here.
Oh, my God. I could go for some popcorn.
We're going to have to order. I'm going to have to get a popcorn machine here.
Yeah, but we couldn't really eat that while recording, because that's really annoying to the listeners.
All right. If you guys want to hear us eat popcorn.
Hit one.
Yeah, yeah. Press one now.
Like they're listening on their phone.
Yeah, and we're going to get the response.
Rimshot runs over and he starts like biting on the troll's leg. And this is the saddest part of the movie.
Oh.
He turns Rimshot into a tiny wooden dog.
Oh, just a sad movie.
So Ernest is all mad. Trantor runs away because, again, Ernest is covered in this dairy product. And then he gets all mad. He's like, you mess with my dog. And not Ernest, but Kenny realizes that it's milk that's keeping the troll at bay.
It's not Miak?
It's not Miak, which I've never heard of. Yeah. It could be fictional.
It could be.
Except you have some?
Well, it might be, but Ernest can find some.
So Kenny recruits some of the other kids to come with him, including the other Murdoch brother, the one that didn't get turned into a doll.
Smart. And now they're all friends.
Well, they're it's like Independence Day. They're putting aside their differences to unite against a common enemy. Trantor's back at the tree, and he puts the last wooden doll inside it. Ernest shows up, and he tries to run him over this truck. But again, the trick where he just disappears from the truck action.
And he's like, but I like the way they do this. And they did this when he backed up over him.
Yep.
They almost did an extended time frame when the troll disappears, and it actually gets to a point where you're like, okay, where is he coming out? Like,
yeah.
I expected him to come out here.
Right.
It almost goes too far, like, okay, right now he's going to come out, and it's like, oh, he didn't come out.
Right.
What are they doing?
Keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's
actually,
good.
That was one of the parts I was like,
good job, John
bad.
Cherry. So the pods are, which Ernest keeps calling Brussels sprouts, they're like fully formed, and he's like, oh no, they can't touch the ground, but there's so many falling that even though Ernest tries to catch them, they do end up hitting the ground.
It's a fail.
And these other trolls start emerging, the ground shaking. Kids are in the convenience store, and they're trying to collect milk, but also super soakers.
And not pay for them.
And not pay for them.
No,
they're just
they're
robbing
stealing.
The store.
And
well, this is extreme times, Rick.
That guy had a shotgun before.
He did. That's true.
But he's not using it on the kids.
I don't think he'd be against just shooting a child. Who knows? He looks squirrely, that guy. Now, Rick.
Yes. Go on.
Has anything ever good come out of a display at a supermarket where they stack several boxes of cereal? Because in this case, the giant pile stack of Chex cereal the clerk falls into.
Yeah.
Is there any benefit for ever stacking cereal like so without it be someone falling into it?
Yeah.
It just seems like an accident always waiting to happen.
Yeah, because you pull like one. Yeah, I think it's dumb.
It's dumb.
Yeah. I don't agree.
There's no good reason for anyone to ever. It's almost like Wayne's World. We just walk back and forth with this glass plane.
Yeah.
And I just stacked these crates of chickens. That's the only reason why you would ever have a cereal pyramid at a store. You heard it here first. So these trolls are emerging from the ground, and Ernest is trying to keep them back. These trolls start popping up, and Ernest just is smacking them with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
He's talking like a baseball announcer, and he's talking about the RBIs getting. But he's comically, of course, because it's Ernest, hitting...
Yeah. No, this is like an evil time. Like this
beating.
Yeah, exactly. This is a time where everyone should be scared, and he's like making a joke and beating the crap out of these trolls.
Oh, these trolls, right. So the rest of the townspeople show up at the tree, and the sheriff, who has a pistol, and the mayor, who has a shotgun, their guns either get taken away or just broken in half. That's how strong these trolls are. They don't get one shot off.
No.
Nothing happens.
They're too strong and fast.
But I did like the move that one even took the bullets out of the gun, the troll, and he ate the gun and started spitting bullets like at the sheriff.
Yeah, that was...
That was weird power.
Well, that was in the mask.
Oh, yeah. Did it happen in the mask?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he started... Remember?
That makes sense, yeah.
He threw them all in his mouth and then just started going...
I did like the move that Ernest pulled off where he was fighting one of the trolls and he said, pick a number between 1 and 10. Did you pick 2? And then he poked him in the eyes.
Yes, that was pretty good.
I did like that. That was kind of fun.
They can't.
Yeah, it was chaos going on.
It was so crazy. It was chaos. They can't shoot anything. And Ernest
the trolls
pokes,
are just winning.
Pokes him in the eye.
Yeah. Ernest is the only one getting the upper hand.
Yeah.
Which I remember as a kid, it was
doing
like,
dumb
go
things.
Ernest. Yeah. Like, yeah. He's the hero. So these trolls are attacking everyone. Tom and Bobby show up. They think this is great. They're taking pictures. They're like, we can sell this to National Enquirer.
Yeah.
Make lots of money. They're into
it.
They're not
helping.
Ernest is using all those contraptions from the tree, from the treehouse. He's using like an ice gun, ice cube shooter gun.
Yeah, I didn't know what this was, but it was shooting
cubes.
He's
using a lot of, again, this treehouse has non-lethal items.
Yeah.
As we saw earlier when he was just shooting food and pizzas, like these things are just annoying the trolls. They're not really beating them.
Right. But it's just kind of a weird... This is the first thing we need to bring up to this treehouse. A 15-pound bowling ball.
Yes.
Why? You know, in case the trolls come.
Hey, maybe even more helpful.
I mean, like, literally, what are you going to do? Throw a 15-pound bowling ball from a 15-foot treehouse at a kid?
I was going to say, if like, the kids threw that at the Murdochs, they'd be dead.
Yeah.
But do you think this was a more productive weapon, Rick? It's a Billy Loud Largemouth Bass hooked up to a sound system.
Yes, that was pretty
which
good.
Didn't even really come into play.
No.
Except it did set up a, not really, but it set up a sped up chase around the tree, Benny Hill style, where two trolls were just chasing Ernest around the tree, and then he eventually ends up behind them like, oh, how'd that happen?
Yeah.
You know? The rest of the kids show up, and they got their various milk products, their super soakers, their cartons that they're throwing like grenades. And it's just taking out the trolls. Now, here we go, Rick. When they hit the trolls, we get the zapping effect going on.
Yeah, oh, God. So, again, the effects are just awful. The trolls burn up, I guess you'd call it. I mean,
yeah, they kind of like evaporate, or
but it's like the same.
It's the same color. Graphic. It's a different color.
Yeah, it's like it's the same electricity graphic, but red to make fire.
And on that same note, you know what? That when Trantor was doing stuff in the tree, there were like those blue ghosts that kind of looked like marshmallows that kept coming out, like summon the demons, but they were
blue ghost effects. Yeah,
you know. Like you said, once these trolls evaporate from the milk, they kind of turn into these bubbling sludge piles. They're just gooing. And the dad is all proud of his son. He's like, go get him, Kenny.
You did it.
You did it.
Like, go kill people.
Kenny's got a pistol. He's got this little pistol squirt gun.
But it's like one of those like dollar store pistol squirt guns. Literally, you know that thing's not going to fire anywhere. And
yeah,
it fires
exactly.
It'd be like 15 feet away.
And Ernest drinks some of the milk and he spits it at one of the trolls. Now, Rick, did you ever see this cult classic from the 90s? This movie called Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
No, I don't think I have. This is this cult horror movie
about these clown aliens. We might have to do this movie at some point. But this troll that he spits at had this giant nose that looked like
Halloween.
One of the clowns. Yeah, next Halloween. Trantor is in the tree, and he's summoning the demons to become a super troll. Talk about the difference between Trantor OG style and super troll. This is almost like Super Shredder.
Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier. I was like, it's like Super Samurai Shredder. He got more horns. Yeah, he got more horns. He got like octopus tentacles.
I wrote these down as wiggly phalluses coming off the side of him.
My description
is much better.
Yeah. It was just awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, there was more boogers.
It's kind of like, how much more crap can we throw onto him?
It was more boogers.
More boogers, yeah. Meanwhile, Lady Hagmore has taken those wooden children dolls of her own and stuck them in the tree next to the other ones. What is she up to? Who knows?
Who does know?
Back to the tree, and Ernest is fighting off the trolls, and time for character run again. Let's take a listen to that.
Don't worry, kid. We got the high ground. Did you hear something? Boy, I sure did. We took the high ground.
Even though some of us are very tired.
Trolls, is it?
Oh, great. I have to defend the fort with a multiple personality.
Oh, look. They're using both good things.
Where's my machine gun? Where's my little machine gun?
We were looking for a good scrap when we found this one. Now, Tina, every man jack of you. A little nasal hygiene would go a long way, young man. Here you go. I hope you're grateful. Little trolls in China don't even get them.
Hairspray will fix anything.
So, again, Ernest goes into his character run. Now, as a kid, and vote's still out now as an adult, but I thought it was kind of fun how he was nonchalantly taking. He was still fighting the trolls, but he had all these different characters. It's almost like he had his own little army going on that were all attacking these characters. I did enjoy that a little bit, but practically, like, again, he has time to change into all these outfits. Like,
you know, as a kid, you're like, ha ha ha, he's
changing. Yeah.
But now
you're like, the old lady's helping the fight.
You're like, what is going on?
You're wasting time, Ernest.
Yeah, stop changing.
Right. One of the trolls comes by and eats Bobby and Tom's camera. So, bye-bye to their film. Nothing to sell the National Enquirer anymore.
No one will see this.
Other things I wrote down of ways they were fighting the trolls, they had yogurt cannons. And they had, at one point, Kenny just took some powdered milk and he threw it into a fan. So they were using all forms of milk.
Which is awkward.
Do you think the trolls would be, like, exclusively cow's milk they don't like? Or what do you think about, almond milk or, like, silk, rice milk? Do you think that would have the same effect?
Yeah, 100%.
You think it would?
No.
No.
It has to be cow's milk.
What about if it was rice miak?
No. Oh, there we go. Maybe.
Could be fictional.
gluten-free.
They released this mini-copter. This is very strange. It was this little helicopter that looked like it was floating based upon beach balls.
It was weird.
Like it was a hot air balloon, but it had beach balls under a net and it had mailboxes.
It was very drone-like.
Right. Yeah, it was a precursor to the drone.
Jim Varney came up with the drone.
Oh! Let's start that rumor. So all the trolls are gone. Yay! Did they save the day? Ernest does his classic John Wayne impression.
Yep.
You knew that was coming.
It had to at some point.
It had to. But Lady Hagmore says it's not over yet.
Not till the fat lady sings.
Super Trantor appears.
Oh, no!
He creates this ring of fire that's around
which
him
is a very awkward
and Ernest.
Ring of fire.
Two men enter.
And all of these,
man can leave.
These parents are like, I can't run through this. My child is being killed, and I'm just going to stand back here.
And he knocks over Ernest, and the milk doesn't work anymore because he's the super troll, and now he's immune.
Oh, no.
And he turns Kenny into a wooden doll. Oh, no, not Kenny.
They killed Kenny, you bastards.
That's what I was thinking, too. They wooden Kenny. You bastards. Hagmore tells the mayor, she's just like whispers in his ear and says, Ernest doesn't understand.
No.
He doesn't need the milk. He needs unconditional love, the heart of a child. And Ernest,
but then he
seems to have heard it. It's almost like Rookie of the Year, where he was nowhere close, but he's like, what, Mom?
It was you?
It was you? What, Mom? I can hear you.
Float it.
So he repeats those same words about the unconditional love. Ernest squares up. The troll comes running at him. Trantor jumps, and Ernest catches him and hugs him.
And
they start dancing. This is the precursor to Dancing with the Stars.
This is troll love songs.
This is troll love going on. And ultimately plants a big old wet kiss on him. Oh! Think about a kiss with that snot rolling down. Like, that's nasty.
You just thought of that? Like, I had to almost turn off the movie. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, that's pretty gross. Trantor starts shaking, and all those blue ghosts start circling him, which I know you love.
You know what? I'm not even going to talk about it, because it was just so bad.
Yeah,
there's so many better effects, especially in the 90s. I mean, this is early 90s.
91, yeah.
I mean, I'll give some of the effects benefit of the doubt because you're an older movie. Slightly, but like I said, Star Wars was better, all this stuff. This is the early 90s. There's some better effect.
In its defense, it's an earnest.
Ghostbusters was
it's an earnest movie. What kind of budget are they getting for effects?
No, but I mean, those special effects back then.
Rick, this is the movie that caused them to no longer release earnest movies theatrically, so.
Wasn't there one more?
There were many more, but they were all direct-to-video.
All right.
Ernest Rides Again, Ernest Goes to Africa, Slam Dunk Ernest.
Oh, God, this is like what they used to do for Air Bud.
Yeah, same path,
yeah,
pretty much. Air Bud was probably better than Slam Dunk Ernest.
Probably.
Trantor starts shaking, and then this is the part I might have looked away for a minute because I didn't catch exactly. The troll explode, or did he kind of implode upon himself?
I
feel like if he exploded, there'd be more guts and stuff.
I think he
imploded into a wormhole or something.
I think yes, but I think I was in the same boat as you were. I was so disgusted of him kissing all the boogers.
You had to look
away.
I looked away,
and then suddenly the troll was gone, and I was like, oh, thank God. The boogers are gone.
I think he imploded into a wormhole or something.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
So all the children are restored back to life.
All the
back to themselves. Kenny did it. The dad's so proud of him.
Oh, Kenny.
And the kids, these four kids show up that are wearing colonial garb because they're from back in the day. Two of them are old Lady Hagmore's siblings. They go, oh, Francis, is that you? How'd you get so old?
But they said sister.
Sister.
Sister. Oh, I thought
they called her Francis, though.
Yeah, but
that's her name.
It was Sister Francis, like she was a nun.
No, I think this was her actual siblings.
Oh.
Yeah.
But then that means she's 400 years old.
Yeah, she's really old. That's true.
400 years?
How is she so old?
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
That's weird. But by the way, was it just me or were these children highly dubbed? That wasn't their voices.
It looked bad.
Yeah.
They were talking. Maybe they were like French or something.
Is
maybe
that you, were... Francis? Yeah, maybe Sister Francis.
They were like filming that day on the street and then that's like, oh crap.
Yeah.
Gotta get four more
it's
kids.
It's dubbing these kids.
Hey, we're gonna take you guys.
Yeah.
We are exchange students.
In Soviet Russia.
Yeah. Yeah. Good we, enough. We pay nothing.
Movie dubs you.
Guaranteed. We're going to look up the mini. We're going to look up these kids, and it's going to be like uncredited role.
Yeah, found I'm sure. On street. I'm sure, yeah.
They had words. They could become screen actors. They could be.
That's true. Maybe they are. So the day is saved. Hooray! But Ernest he's sad.
Oh,
he's sad because he says there's nothing in that tree for him.
No.
But then out of the truck comes, happiest moments of the movie, restored rimshot!
Yay!
So they embrace. That's happy. And Lady Hagmore just looks at the camera. End of movie.
It was an awkward end.
Awkwardly.
No, she said something.
No, she just looked at the camera.
I thought she said some
like,
words.
She gave the look of like, isn't this a weird situation
yeah.
we all went through?
Oh.
But she didn't say that.
Oh.
She said it with her eyes, with her Catwoman eyes.
Man, Eartha Kitt, she just talks to me then.
Yeah, she does. She says, meow, I'll get you, Batman.
I'll get you, my pretty. She was never one of the...
No, she wasn't a Wizard of Oz. So, Rick, having watched this movie... Maybe for the first time in entirety for you. What'd you think?
The more I watch, the more I'm like, I would like to leave these when I was 10.
Leave them in your memory?
Yeah. I don't think it's a bad movie, like a terrible movie.
Yeah.
Because I know what they're trying to do with the Ernest stuff. It's the same as like Pee Wee Herman's
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. It's goofy. It's a childlike but, character.
Exactly.
Watching but it was it. Interesting that they bended the genre a little bit where
yeah.
they're like, let's throw in a horror element.
But like watching it now... When I'm 35.
So let me ask you this. In comparison, because we did do a review of Ernest Saves Christmas. Did
right.
you like this one better or worse?
I think Ernest Saves Christmas is almost better because it's a storyline and he saves Christmas and they explain why he's doing these roles.
It's a bit more practical.
And I think that one is actually slightly better than this movie, which didn't make any sense to me. He's just switching roles instantaneously and there's no reason for
right.
it. Hey, we need to do this because it's because
that's
it's
his
Ernest.
Thing.
Yeah.
That's his thing, right.
Which I don't like.
At the time as a child, this one was probably my favorite, but like I said, I was very interested to go back and watch these again to see, and I think I might be on the same page as you, especially because Ernest Saves Christmas was probably, out of the four theatrical releases, was the one I was least familiar with, or
yeah.
least I remember,
yeah.
but watching that one again, like you said, it was more linear, made more sense.
It didn't make sense when I watched it. I know this. It didn't make sense, but it made more sense.
Than this one.
Than this one.
I still think this one is fun, though. And it does ring true to who Ernest is, which I think
yeah,
that's
right.
saying something.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I don't think I'll ever watch it again. I mean, if that means something.
I must admit, there was a time where my go-to birthday gift for people was the Ernest 4-pack of movies.
Oh.
So this, of course, would be included. And at the time when I bought it to people, that's the one I was most excited to watch again was this movie.
Did you watch it, though? I mean, like, how many times have you seen it in the last 20 years?
Not often. Like I said, like at that
actually,
haunted house, 20, I had seen some clips.
25 years.
It's been a while.
25th anniversary of this movie.
But it's a fun, dumb one. I mean, if you want to throw
all
it on
right,
for
I'll
Halloween.
It's a fun, dumb movie.
If you put on this movie and you're manning the door at Halloween to give out the trick-or-treat candy and you have to keep getting up, this is a good one to put in the background, maybe.
Yeah. All right.
So, Rick, if Ernest Scared Stupid came out today, what do you think would be some good products that these stores might sell to kind of promote the movie?
Tissues.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Some troll tissues. That should have been part of Tom and Bobby's store. They should have had, like, some industrial-strength tissues.
Yeah. Probably some Miak.
Some Miak. Awesome.
Yeah.
If it's real, we can make it real.
Yeah.
It may be fictional, but
we
will make it
real.
We should
make up a recipe for Miak and just put it out there.
Yeah.
And see how well it goes. I think it should be some kind of alcoholic drink from Bulgaria.
We could, yeah.
Like
an alcoholic borscht.
Like something Christmassy.
Oh, like an eggnog type of
yeah.
deal.
Well... No, like a shot format.
A shot, okay.
Like a shot. So something's a little warm, cinnamon,
yeah.
you know, something.
Like a hot toddy.
Yeah.
So you're saying, like, if it was like a shot form, when Ernest got a whole like can of Miak, that's like that's some potent Miak.
Yeah, you got like
if
a,
you drank you that whole thing,
flask.
You would be on the floor.
Yeah, you, got
you would
like
be passed out in popcorn butter.
Oh, popcorn.
Ooh. Halloween dance style popcorn.
Yes.
Of course, a hobby shop has to have the handcrafted line of wooden children dolls, I think.
Oh, okay.
Those might be okay. Good.
Yeah, paint them yourself.
Paint them yourself. Yeah. Paint by numbers.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. What if a doll of the trolls of this movie eventually replaced the lovable crazy haired dolls?
The crazy trolls?
Yeah. You know, maybe you have a keychain of Trantor.
I just saw there's a movie coming out with trolls.
Yes, animated movie. Justin Timberlake's one of the voices.
What?
Yeah.
Like 25 years later, they need to
seems
back
way past
trolls.
His prime.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
almost like when like the Angry Birds movie came out,
so
and you're like, hey,
what,
this is way past its prime.
Here's one of the things I have with this, right? Not to get off subject, but this Trolls movie, right?
Yes.
Everything that they're redoing right now, like all the movies they're redoing, I just think to myself that, you know what? There's probably a warehouse somewhere that has millions of troll dolls
yeah.
that they made 25 years ago, and somehow they got to sell them again.
So they're making the movie.
So they do this stuff to bring it back retro, parents like it, and now they resell stuff that's already been created
yeah,
like 20 years
that's
ago.
That's a good theory. That's why coming soon to a theater near you. Furby the movie.
Who know you yeah.
Could be.
You're probably close.
Yep.
I know I'm writing a script for it now. Hey, didn't they bring back Teddy Ruxpin or whatever?
Did
Ruxpin?
They?
Yeah, I think they did.
I had that guy.
He's freaky. That's a Halloween movie in itself. Just him talking. Dies. He's like, rawr, rawr, rawr.
Do you know what I almost bought your daughters as a gift before I went for the toy ice cream set?
Yes. Which they love.
Do they like it?
Oh,
good.
My God.
Good.
It's
great.
Open. All over my floor.
They had a like 12 character collection of Care Bears because Care Bears came back around. But I don't know if your kids
new
Care Bears were into it. I didn't go. So, I went with the ice cream shop instead. I thought that would
perfect.
Be more fun activity, especially because if they didn't know who the Care Bears were.
Right.
But you could get 12 Care Bears, all different tummies and colors.
Oh, man. Remember Care Bear Stare?
Care Bear Stare.
Oh, man.
Care Superhero. Bear Cousins, Lionheart.
Oh,
like
yes.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, God. They keep bringing back all of these things from stuff like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And you know, like, Disney's looking at doing Gargoyles and stuff like that.
I freaking loved Gargoyles,
so, like,
dude.
They're looking at these things. They're saying, hey, all these kids are now 20 years later.
Yep.
You bring it back. You
now
get
their parents remember
yeah,
this
their
stuff.
Their parents.
Yeah.
You get a nostalgia feel, you can bring their kids, and you have hooked an entire new generation of kids.
Yeah.
It's a smart way to go. I think it's just the easy way out. No one's coming up with new ideas. They're just rehashing old ideas.
Good advertising and
nostalgia,
marketing.
Nostalgia sells. I mean, that's
yeah.
Just
oh, yeah. Look at half of my T-shirt collection. I think yeah. That's been it for Mark and Rick's Toy Corner.
Hey, that should be a new corner.
I remember when we reviewed that Ernest movie.
Oh, what? When did we do that?
Well, thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Rick and absentee Brian, just remember, you can always paint the grass green. Good night.
Goodbye.
Rick, there's some people that have some comments about this episode. Would you like to hear from them?
Yes.
I thought that was a very good showing indeed. Well, I'm an Ottoman warrior, and I'm not sure about it at all.
I thought it was too exciting, and I'm rather tired. Well, Pilgrim, I'd rather have a drink than listen to that.
Oh, the lighting here in this movie cave is hurting my eyes.
And I got in my plane, and I said, hey, I'm gonna shoot down any of those reviews. It's... Well, I'm a Botswanian lumberjack, and I don't see a tree in sight.
You need your meds.
Those accounts may or may not have been fictional.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast and our full movie reviews it of Ernest Scared Stupid. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5 Bin POD, like us on Facebook, or email us at the $5bin.podcast@gmail.com. Download episodes on iTunes, and when you do, hey, why not give a rating and a review? Really helps out others to find the podcast. Why, thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, you can visit natickimprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. Well, that's it for this episode, Cinemaniacs. Until next time... Hasta la vista, baby troll dolls. Black.